Rick Sanchez here. This is Direct Impact, and this is what we're going to be talking about. That's an actual explosion of someone's pager that they happen to have right near them when it goes off inside a store. This is happening over and over again. I'm Rick Sanchez. It's a breaking news story we're following for you. Let's do this. Okay, so I guess I have to start with the words, it's happening again. We are hearing there is another wave of explosions that have been taking place now in Lebanon. Yesterday it was pagers, now we understand it's people's handheld radios, like what we used to talk, what we used to call walkie-talkies, right? Possibly cell phones, maybe some laptops too, are now blowing up around people, and many are being severely injured or killed again. Now, we've got some exclusive video that we're going to be sharing with you here. It's important to note that this video, while important and certainly newsworthy, is also very graphic. There are scenes of terror that you are about to see. Here we go. That's one of the explosions there. We're going to be seeing several of them. Again, this comes after a series of attacks yesterday where thousands of pagers blew up and what appears to be a coordinated high-tech supply chain sabotage. Look at this. Look at this fire. By the way, that sabotage, according to the Wall Street Journal, was conducted by Israel. At least 12 people, we understand, are dead. As many as 2,800 are injured. Now, we have a second video now. I'm going to show you the attack that took place yesterday. This is the one that happened yesterday afternoon. We reported this to you. Again, very graphic stuff here, and it appears to have happened as the people were simply going about their daily lives. Yeah, these are the scenes. I know it's tough to watch. I mean, some 3,000 people who suddenly something on their body or in their hands or in front of their face just blew up. While terror fills the entire nation of Lebanon as we speak, with people now fearful of being near any electronic device for fear that it's going to blow up in their hands or in their faces or blow up their children, as has happened, or their friends or their family members, all fingers are now obviously pointing to Israel, which is pretty much saying, yeah, we did it. So far, we understand there are about 200 victims, including children. At least 3 people are dead. That's from just today, right? Many more from yesterday. And by the way, those numbers are going to change as this story develops. The Wall Street Journal published an account in its early edition this morning that said that Israel appears to have purposely interrupted the supply chain to cause this to happen, the supply chain of the electronic devices, the pagers, the beepers, the walkie-talkies, or whatever you want to call them, which is incidentally a confirmation of something that our guest yesterday, if you watched our show yesterday, which I'm sure you probably did, who doesn't, we had an investigative journalist on. His name is Elijah Manjay, and he reported here this very same thing on the air yesterday. Take a listen.
Several months ago, Hezbollah bought a new batch of pagers, several thousands, and they are more modern. They have a solar system charging. They don't need a battery, but they can be recharged. So all very new. It was a very highly sophisticated and precisely engineered booby trap device that was embedded with explosive with the pager electronic circuit showing an advanced level of technical expertise. So what the Israeli did is they've sent a message that is urgent, and then it came as in a form of error, and then it was vibrating. So people needed to take the pager in both hands, and this is why more than 300 people lost both hands. Some people lost their eyesight. Other people, around 9, died, but there are hundreds of people who had minor injuries.
I've never seen anything like this, and we've been reporting it now for the last 48 hours. Let me bring Manila into this conversation so that she can weigh in. There's still a lot to say about the geopolitics of now, but just based on the facts on the ground there, Manila, what is your reaction?
Well, Rick, as we know from many confirmed reports now from around the world, that Israel is indeed behind this attack. So this was a state-sponsored event. Now, that said, the components from the initial, what they say was a batch of Motorola pagers or beepers, whatever you want to call them, the components come from all over the place, Rick. We're talking places like South Korea, Taiwan, perhaps even China. People were saying, you know, smaller components. So this is now an international problem about when and where Israel was able to infiltrate that supply chain. And as we've reported before, that there are many countries out there now that have spoken out against Israel and this continued action against Gaza and advancing it into Lebanon to sort of expand this war and perhaps expand into the broader Middle East in order to drag in other countries, including the United States itself, and perhaps the greater Middle Eastern nations around, to make this a huge regional war. So if we stop it there, we at least, right now, the international community really does need to do a real introspection and take a look at where the supply chain failed, where somebody was a mole or a plant. That needs to be step number one.
How it was manipulated. And by the way, of course, the reaction around the world to the fact that many, if not most, of the victims are civilians, as far as we can tell, has been swift. Israel is going to argue that they were only targeting members of Hezbollah inside Lebanon, like they have in the case in Gaza. But as we know, that's not the case. And of course, that's completely irrational and logical because it doesn't account for all the people who may be sharing the device. If you're sitting next to someone who may be a bad guy, according to Israel, but you're not a bad person, or you happen to be the child of that person, or somebody who's just holding the device for somebody else. And devices that were sold in the open market, for example, to somebody who has nothing to do with Hezbollah. So the targeting of digital devices used by civilians is being condemned right now. And last I checked before I went on the air, by the EU, by the UN, by Russia, by Egypt, by Turkey, by Venezuela, Cuba, just a list of some of the countries I saw over the top. I'm sure by now that there are many more other nations who are not beholden to Israel or to the U.S. Some of those nations who are beholden to Israel and the U.S. are probably not going to say a damn thing. For its part, the U.S. State Department spokesperson had this to say.
The U.S. was not aware of this incident in advance, and at this point, we're gathering information.
And what information have you gathered so far?
We'll continue to collect information. I don't have any public readout to give now, but we're collecting information in the same way that journalists are across the world to gather the facts about what might have happened.
I only think of the Three Monkeys when I see that statement. I see nothing, I hear nothing, I know nothing. Wow. Meanwhile, online, while the majority of the people worldwide are calling it a blatant attack on civilians and an act of terror, ardent defenders of Israel are gloating about Israel's incredible technological prowess. Among the most noteworthy is this tweet that was published on X by Dinesh D'Souza, who says he found the attack to be funny, and frankly, he seems to be enjoying it. Let me show you his tweet. Let me read it to you. Hezbollah gets a taste of its own medicine. Is it wrong to watch this and laugh? He writes. Wow. I don't know. Manila, let me bring you in for that. Good luck.
Yeah. Rick, the short answer to Dinesh's question is yes, 100%. It's unethical and disgusting to laugh at the pain and suffering and injury of any human life. Dinesh D'Souza loves to kind of caricature himself as some sort of academic, and he's so smart, and you know, he's got a PhD or whatever. But when you look at other actual people in the world of academics, like a professor at Georgetown University called Bruce Hoffman, he defines terrorism as, quote, violence, or equally important, the threat of violence used and directed in pursuit of or in service of a political aim. Or another academic, Professor Louise Richardson at Oxford University, she says terrorism is defined as deliberately and violently targeting civilians for political purposes. Now, if we look at that characterization of what terrorism is, then Dinesh D'Souza is effectively cheerleading and laughing at terrorism. Terrorism should always be condemned, and therefore, I see him as a terrorist sympathizer, and I condemn him for that, and I find it absolutely disgusting and deplorable that anybody follows and listens to this guy.
Wow. Strong words from Manila Chen. I've never seen you quite like this. But, you know, it's hard to disagree with somebody who says what you said about somebody who says publicly, I'm sitting here laughing at people losing their arms, their legs, dying, and having their children attacked by booby traps set inside, or explosives inside their technological equipment or their digital equipment. It's an amazing day, an amazing story. But there's a lot to say about this, including what is the Hezbollah story? What is the Lebanon reaction? What is Israel saying? And that's what we're going to do in just a little bit. Thanks so much, Manila. We're going to be following everything that's coming out of Lebanon. Don't go away, because when we come back, we are going to be joined by somebody who's there on the scene in Lebanon, Laith Maarouf, who joins us from Beirut. He's a journalist, founder of a TV news network called Free Palestine TV. He's going to give us that perspective when we come back. Stay right there. Laith Maarouf is an award-winning journalist who covers the Middle East. Laith, thanks so much for joining us. I guess it behooves me to ask you first and foremost, how are you doing? I just can't help but wonder, what's it like to be a citizen of Lebanon right now? And if you happen to have a computer or a cell phone or any kind of digital device, are people just throwing them out their windows? Or how are people, people must be scared out of their minds to be near any kind of digital device at this point.
Yeah, well, this is the main purpose of these attacks. The Zionists are playing a psychological warfare game, and specifically they're targeting to reach the goal of having the conscientious decision-making of their enemy to be destabilized. And this, at this moment, for the last 10 months, the axis of resistance and Hezbollah have been very calculated in all their actions when facing a Zionist. They're not being baited into situations that the Zionists may achieve goals from. Therefore, what we see is these attacks today and yesterday were designed to kind of sow chaos. And
but of course it would show chaos. How could it not show so chaos? If I was living in Lebanon right now, I would be scared out of my mind to be walking down the street, to be walking by people who may have a cell phone on them, or a pager, or a laptop, or a walkie-talkie, or a handheld radio. I mean, the people have to be freaked out. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get from you. How freaked out are the people? You make it sound like maybe they're not, and they're only thinking in geopolitical terms. That can't be the case.
They are freaked out, but I think the whole world is also freaked out, because what the Zionists just told us today and yesterday is that any device that has a lithium battery that is connected somehow to the internet or a radio signal, just like in the case of the pagers and these walkie-talkies, can be given a command through these backdoor in the hardware or in the software to overheat the lithium batteries as fast as possible for it to blow up. And as we saw today, the 14 that were martyred in comparison to yesterday's 12, the reason that there's more today that is because The walkie-talkies are usually in somebody's hands close to their head and or in the car stationed just above the window,
Although to be fair and to be hopefully accurate as we look at these unbelievable videos of carnage, I would suspect that there's reason to believe that these weren't just batteries blowing up, because we here have all seen what happens when batteries blow up. Those are explosions, and that means it necessitates that somebody had to manipulate the device and put C4 inside of it just enough so it would cause an explosion. So I don't know. I'm not an expert, and I don't think you are either. But as we get down the line on this and they look at these devices, I think we'll find out that somebody, after they were made, then in an aftermarket way, manipulated them by putting some kind of explosive in them. But as the story develops, we'll know more. Here's the question I want to ask you. If somebody in Israel were to have said what I just said, that they're just going after Hezbollah, they're not going after civilians, it's because they think Hezbollah is a terrorist organization, what would you say to them?
Well, clearly the Israelis will say that about any of the civilians that they're killing, and they've been saying that for now 10 months. And they will continue to say that every Muslim is a terrorist, that they have the right to kill and or a potential terrorist. So there's no end. What we saw today and yesterday is that the Israelis are willing to cross all lines. And in fact, the Israeli media were so jubilant, they named this attack as Operation Under the Belt. And they think that it's a clever thing to call it an operation under the belt. But we all know that when you refer to hitting somebody under the belt, it shows you that you're dishonorable, that you don't follow any regulations. And that is the way that the Israeli military and the Israeli intelligence services act anyways. This is the norm for them, to cross all decency, cross all lines of international law and the rules of engagement and war. And, the best example of that is how the quote-unquote Israeli martial arts Krav Maga is the only martial arts that allows you to punch for somebody in the groin or hit them in the back of the head. Mm-hmm. This is Israel. Israel is a genocidal entity, and nothing will
but
be they,
but,
red
but again, but let me go back to my question now. They would say that Hezbollah members are terrorists. That's what they say. I know that in Lebanon, Hezbollah is not considered a terrorist organization. In many parts of the world, it is. In many parts of the world, it isn't. They would say the members of Hezbollah are terrorists. Therefore, we're targeting them, not civilians, only them. How does that mesh or jive with what you've seen there on the ground in Lebanon?
Well, the vast majority of those who were martyred and injured up until now, as announced by the Lebanese government, are civilians. And the biggest constituency of those who were injured or martyred are medical workers, because, the fact that in hospitals you're not allowed to have a cell phone, you have to use a pager, and the hospitals have their internal pager systems for their nurses and doctors. So clearly, this was indiscriminate. They were hoping maybe that they will get some of the first line cater of Hezbollah, but that didn't happen. So if you didn't get any important targets, even if you're claiming that you're doing this to target Hezbollah, then you have failed. And the only intention and goal of this attack was to maim and kill civilians and to terrorize them and to bring the society to a halt.
Everyone's talking. I just read a little while ago the UN's reaction to this, as well as the EU's, by the way, as well as most countries in the world who are weighing in, the ones who aren't waiting for the United States to tell them what to say. And most of them are saying the thing they're angriest about, after they talk about the fact that civilians have been apparently affected by this, if not targeted, is that they're worried about the escalation, that there's no question that this has to escalate the situation. Why would the war cabinet of Israel? Why would the Prime Minister, Mr. Netanyahu, make a decision to do something this public, this outright against Lebanon, if he didn't want this conflict right now between his country and so many others to go outside his borders even more, to go beyond Gaza and the West Bank? Is that what he's trying
because
to do?
Because he actually wants it.
Yeah. Why? Why would he want to do? Why would he want to escalate this war?
Because the actors of resistance and the Palestinians in Gaza have been fighting a war of attrition, an anti-colonial, decolonial liberation struggle, and that's the example of Algeria, the example of Vietnam. When you're fighting a much stronger colonial power and you want to get your liberation, that's how you fight it. And the longer this intensity of war continues as it is, the faster the collapse of the Zionist colony is. And in fact,
wait. You're not answering my question. I don't want you to tell me why the anti-colonialists or whatever you call them are doing this. I want you to tell me why Bibi Netanyahu is doing this.
So to escape this quagmire, because his military is defeated on the ground, both against the Palestinians and against the Lebanese, he has no choice but to draw in the West to fight the war on his behalf. And the West is not going to come and fight against the Palestinians in an extermination camp in Gaza, but they will come and fight on behalf of Israel if Hezbollah, a formidable enemy, and/or Iran attacks. This is what Netanyahu wants to do, and he wants to do it before the American election happens, while the Axis of Resistance wants to draw it as close as possible, this war of attrition, to the election, if not after.
Fascinating. Now that, is interesting, that he's doing it before the election, and he's doing it because he wants this to be bigger. He wants to escalate it, and he wants the West to come in and help fight the war for him. In many ways. Interesting perspective. And I thank you so much, Laith, for joining us. Sorry about some of the technical issues we had, and we look forward to talking to you once again. That's our show. Remember to always look outside your own box. Truths, they don't live in boxes. So I'm Rick Sanchez. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be looking for you again.